Hey everyone, this is Joseph Bosco, pastor of Highway Church. Thanks for joining us on our podcast. You know, all of us need the right kind of voices in our lives. Voices that inspire us to know the one who made us. Voices that awaken our divine destiny and reveal to us the goodness of God. Well, that's what this ministry is all about. So enjoy the message.
And it all comes by simply believing Him, by simply trusting in who He is, by getting to know who He is, by looking at Him in the Scriptures, in Matthew and Mark and Luke and John and Acts, and looking at the promises of God. The promises of God reveal to us the person of God, reveal to us the heart and the will of God. We are in the middle of a series called Total Reality, and we've been having a blast looking at Jesus. Last week, we looked at the person of love, grace, and truth, which is the person of Christ. We've been saying that the reality God has for you has to have three elements in it: love, truth, and grace. And they've all got to be working together. If you leave any one of those elements out, your image of God is going to be distorted, and you're going to cheat yourself. You're going to be missing out on the abundant life He came to give you. So we looked last week at love, truth, and grace in action in John chapter 8. Do you remember? If you haven't seen it, please go back and watch it. You'll be glad you did. We saw how Jesus responded to religious condemnation, to deception, to all the things that religion was trying to do to Him. And we saw how He responded to a woman who was caught in sin. And He didn't condemn her at all in any way, shape, or form. He empowered her by revealing to her the light of God's love for her, that there is no condemnation for her in Christ, and that she can be empowered to leave a life of sin and live a life of joy and holiness. Today, we're going to look at some more at Jesus. Don't you know it's our favorite thing to do at Highway is to look at the person of Jesus. If I saw anything missing in the body of Christ at large, it is this: the person, the knowledge of the person of Jesus. We've got to know Him as a person. When I say person, I don't mean a fallen human being. I mean a person, the being, the one who's living, who was and is and ever shall be. He breathes, He sees, He thinks, He interacts, He speaks, He heals, He delivers, He sets free, He's alive, and He wants to show Himself to each and every one of us every day. But we've got to choose to believe that He is who He says He is, that He did what He said He did. And that takes a conscious decision on a daily basis. Jesus, You are the one I'm waking up for. You are the one I'm having breakfast with. You are the one I'm going to work for. You're the one I'm living for. And talk to Him throughout the day. And boy, you want to really experience a brand new life, set aside time to be alone with Him each day. And just absorb His presence. Just soak in all that He is. Keep your mind stayed on everything He did in the Gospels and Acts. Keep your mind stayed on the promises of God all throughout the Scriptures, and rejoice in Him and let His presence fill you up daily. Man has been searching since the fall for solutions to their problems. And after the fall, man began developing his intellect. And the intellect is a tool God has given us. But I want to tell you, it forever falls short of simple faith. Your heart believing in what God has said and who He is. Hallelujah. Total reality. We're going to look today at love, truth, and grace in action. Understand that Jesus came into the earth to open our eyes to a greater reality, a deeper reality than what we can detect or figure out with our intellect, than what we can detect or figure out through studies and analysis, what greater and deeper than what we can detect with our five senses.
It is a deeper reality. It's actually what Hebrews 11 talks about. It's the unseen realm where everything else comes from. It's the realm of the spirit.
I'm thinking, when you say deeper, I'm thinking it's even higher. It's even wider. Broader.
Come on.
Yeah, it's broader.
Yes,
it is. It's expansive.
Yes.
It's not limited to the five senses, as you just said.
That's right.
You know, it's deeper. It's higher. It's broader. God's reality than what we've understood. But we're
so
coming
good.
Into it. We're coming more and more into
yes.
it every day.
Yes.
Hallelujah.
Yes. I want to look at first at the words that Jesus declared. He came to open our eyes to the reality of God's love for us. He came to open our eyes to the reality of God's delivering power. So we're going to look at it. Well, let's go to Luke chapter 4 first. Then we're going to go to John chapter 9. Jesus opens his mouth in the synagogue, in the midst of ignorance, in the midst of people that hadn't heard from God for hundreds of years. They hand him the scroll of Isaiah, the fifth gospel. And he opens it and he says, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he's anointed me to preach the good news to the poor. He sent me to announce release to the captives, release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to send forth as delivered those who are oppressed, who are downtrodden, bruised, crushed, and broken down by calamity. To proclaim the accepted and acceptable year of the Lord, the day when salvation," that's wholeness, that's prosperity, that's your destiny fulfilled, "salvation and the free favors of God profusely abound." This is how Jesus began his ministry, to open our eyes that now the abundant life that God has for you is now accessible through simple faith in me. "I've come that your eyes would be open to the reality of the Father's love for you, to the reality of the life he's prepared for you, and through simple faith in who I am and what I say, you will begin to walk in it. You will begin to experience, and you will see that I am the light of the world." Hallelujah. Faith in who Jesus is opens our eyes to this greater reality. But you can't just think of him as a religious figure or a good teacher or a historical figure. You've got to look to him as your all in all, as your absolute everything. And listen, we're made in the image of God, and God has given each of us talents and abilities and intellect, and we can use those things apart from him because we're made in his image. And we can accomplish what looks like a lot. But when you compare it to what he has prepared for you, to what he has for you, wholeness and a joy that nothing can take away, and a provision from heaven every day, I'm telling you, we can do nothing apart from him. Isn't that what Jesus said? In the Bible study, I think we looked at, was it John 5, where he said, I'm doing what the Father does. I'm looking at him. I don't do anything unless I see him do it. We need Jesus to be our all in all. We need to know that really we can't inhale without the grace of God in our lives. And there's nothing wrong with realizing that. In fact, it's healthy to realize where we come from, who made us, and what we're depending on. All of us are depending on something.
Absolutely.
Or someone.
We're not accustomed to looking at our limitations. Well, I mean, we
don't like
we don't
that.
Want
right.
to acknowledge right. our limitations. Right. But you know that right there, when you acknowledge your limitation, is where you lean on to God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so it's good to recognize that.
It's good. It's good. Sometimes we try and compensate for our shortcomings by working harder, studying harder, trying to find answers. So, and somehow we feel that if we find those, we'll be where it's an affirmation for us. But listen, God already loves you. The one who made heaven and earth affirms you. He loves you with all of his heart. He gave his son for you. You've got all the affirmation you need just by receiving his love for you.
Hallelujah.
All of us have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. And listen, sin has blinded all of us. It's just true. We couldn't see straight Because when we sin, when we chose to believe something contrary to the love of the Father for our lives, our eyesight went haywire. So that's something all of us have done, okay? And we're going to look in John chapter 9 at a man born blind. What have you been born with? Listen, I'm telling you this greater reality. You may have been born with a defect or with a genetic condition. You may have been fighting an addiction for 15 years. You may have a debilitating condition or injury, but I want you to know that can end today, because the reality that Jesus has ushered into the earth is the reality of God's love and power, and there are no limits to it. He makes you whole.
Yeah.
Look at this in John chapter 9. Here's a man born blind. Religion doesn't know what to do with that. And look, I want you, there's so much to see here. How much time we got? Okay. Let's see what we can do with this. Let's start in verse 1 of John chapter 9. Jesus passed by and he saw a man who was blind from birth. Now, you understand Jesus' disciples are about to say something here. You understand for the most part they were clueless, just like you and me were before we were born again and had the revelation of who Jesus is and what he's done for us and who we are in him. But they, for the most part, didn't understand who Jesus was. They didn't understand that what he was about to do. They didn't understand the love of the Father. And you'll see that all throughout the time Jesus walked with them. They'll say some pretty crazy things.
And those things are based on what's around them, tradition.
Sure. Tradition.
What they've heard.
Right.
You know, so,
right.
Yeah.
So listen, here's what they say. Disciples, so here's this man born blind, and here's what they're thinking. Rabbi, they're talking to Jesus, teacher, who sinned? This man or his parents that he was born blind? That's their thought process. He must have really messed up, or his parents messed up, and that's why this man's blind. Now, this little portion of Scripture, verses 1 through 5, has been used by some to say that God causes these things so that he can get glory. And you're going to see that's absolutely not true. Jesus taught us very clearly that God's kingdom is not divided. If Jesus is working against what his Father has done, then the Father and Son aren't in union. Jesus rebuked sickness and disease. He rebuked storms. He rebuked devils. It's Satan is the one who brings blindness. Now, through the curse of sin, that opened the door for all the garbage the devil has. So through the general curse of sin, all this stuff came. But I want you to see how Jesus responds. Remember, the New Testament was written in Greek. There are no commas, there are no parentheses, there are no punctuation. So there's some English translations that just totally miss this, and they add words that aren't in the Greek. I think the New King James does a good job if you leave out the punctuation. Jesus answers their statement. They want to know who's responsible for this. Mm-hmm. Whose sin was it, his or his parents?
Assign blame. We got to find out who did it.
Isn't that the method we often want to find out who's responsible? Who did it?
Mm-hmm.
Who did it?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Okay, so Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents sinned. In other words, it wasn't because of their personal sin. All right, neither this man sinned. Now, he's starting a new statement here. Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God might be revealed in him, I must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. The night is coming where no one can work. As long as I'm in the world, I am the light of the world. In other words, it wasn't his parents, it wasn't him, but I'm here now. And I've got a job to do. I've got to bring light to this man. Are you catching that? Take out the commas and understand that when Jesus says, neither this man nor his parents sinned, that's the end of that. That's the answer to their question.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's the end. And now he's revealing, but I'm here now. Mm-hmm. I've come. I'm the solution to this man's problem. I think the Message translation helps us to understand it. I'm going to read that to you. Verse 3, Jesus said, you're asking the wrong question.
That's good.
You're looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause effect here. Look instead for what God can do. Come on. Isn't that the answer to every problem of our lives? Stop trying to figure out why it happened and look and see what God can do. It will set you free.
That's very good.
To figure out life will wear you out. Because we're living in a fallen world under the curse of sin. Satan's the god of this world. And he's trying to confuse you, to discourage you. Instead of trying to analyze it all, just look to Jesus and let him show you how good he is.
This is very prevalent, Joseph. This is very relevant as well. This idea of, we're so accustomed to, okay, we've got to find out who did it. You know, we're so accustomed to that.
Yeah.
And oftentimes it's me who did it. And you squirm under that. You're like, man, this is happening because I didn't blah, or I should have blah, or whatever. We are so used to that type of thinking. And the opposite, if someone else has done it, then we feel good about ourselves because, well, I didn't do that. And neither one of those is where we need to be. Jesus said, you're asking the wrong question. You're looking at the wrong thing. And so I really challenge us today to recognize when we're thinking like, whose fault is this? Who's responsible
for this? Including
yourself. I messed up. This is my fault. I'm just going to have to buckle down and take the consequence because I did, you know, it's my fault. Where that's not where the conversation is. Jesus is calling us to look instead at what God can do in that situation, the reason or who's responsible or whose fault is it, you know. Because if I say it's your fault, then I feel like it's not my fault.
Right.
You know?
Right.
But if it's my fault, then
looking
I
at the
feel
wrong
like,
thing. Looking at the wrong thing.
That's all the wrong stuff.
That's right.
And we've got to, when we recognize that something is wrong, let's look and see what God can do.
Really, what does it matter? Why? You know what? We know God is good, that God loves us, and he's the answer, right? I mean, if I look at myself, I could probably qualify for president of the mistake club, right? But I'm not looking at myself. I'm going to keep my eyes on him. His grace is abundant. I've received the abundance of his grace, not just enough to hopefully get by a grace. Right? Those who receive the abundance of his grace and the gift of his righteousness reign as kings in life through Jesus Christ. Did I make that up? No.
Romans.
It's in your Bible and it's in mine. Let's keep reading. Yeah, I love that. Look instead for what God can do. We need to be energetically at work for the one who sent me here. He's pulling their attention away from their religious reasoning to the one who sent him. We need to be energetically at work. You can't be energetically at work for God when you're looking at yourself and your mistakes. You can't.
Or others and their mistakes.
You can't. It saps the energy right out of you.
Sure does.
Or fills you with a false pride or whatever. We got to look to the one who's called us. We need to be energetically at work for the one who sent me here, working while the sun shines, the message says. When night falls, the workday is over. For as long as I am in the world, there is plenty of light. I am the world's light.
Hallelujah.
He is the light you need to be free, to be whole from whatever you were born with, whatever genetic condition, whatever disease, whatever conditions come against you, whatever addiction or bondage you might be battling, look to the light of the world. Spend time alone with the light of the world. If you're financially having struggles and challenges, spend time alone with the light of the world. He is your provider. He's the light you need to take you into the fullness of his plan for you, abundant life.
And didn't we see that last week? I loved how the Spirit of God pointed out to us last week that when the lady who was caught in the act of adultery, Jesus said, "I neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." And right after that, he says again, "I am the light.
I am the light.
I am the light," which the Spirit of God pointed out that Jesus is saying, the go and sin no more command I gave you, that thing will be carried out and empowered by coming into relationship with the light of the world.
So good.
That light, it was there so last good. Week.
I'm so good.
Remembering, here it is again. He's the light. Hallelujah.
So good. Don't want to go too fast here.
Nope.
Hallelujah.
I am the world's light. Is where we're
Hallelujah.
At. Glory.
Hallelujah. You're asking the wrong questions. You're looking for someone to blame. There is no such cause and effect here. Look instead for what God can do. Be energetically attentive to the Spirit of God in your life.
That's good.
Be passionately pursuing Him. Make knowing Him, having a personal interaction with Him daily, the priority of your day. I want to get through John 9. I'm not sure if we're going to do it.
Hallelujah.
We're people who fell from the glory of God. Now, if you put your faith in Christ, you're a new creation in Him. But I'm saying to you, we need a Savior. We need interaction with the one who made us. Even if we are new creations. When you put your faith in Christ, your past is gone. You're a new creation. You're righteous. You're His son. You're His daughter. You're His heir. You're His co-heir with Christ. But that doesn't mean you don't need to interact with Him.
No.
This is all about relationship with Him. So even before I knew Him, I didn't know a Bible verse. I just kind of came to the end of myself at an early age, you know. I just tried everything I could try, and I said, this world really doesn't have anything to offer me. And I just started saying, God, who are you? I want to know you. But, you know, here I am, decades later, in my relationship with Him, and I'm still asking Him to reveal more of Himself to me. And I've learned a lot about Him since 1985. I've learned how to experience His divine provision for my life, His divine health. I'm walking out His destiny for my life.
That's right.
But I need more of Him.
Well, that's the directive to us all. The scripture says to walk in the light,
yeah,
even as He is in the light.
Yeah.
To continue in the light, it is something that we continue to do. And it's getting into the light,
Don't let the sun
come on,
go 70s. Down on me.
My husband is a 70s man and some 80s too.
Don't let the sun go down on you. Who's that, Elton
I
John?
I don't even know. We'll have to look it up.
Go down on me.
Okay.
I don't know the next line. What's the next line?
We don't know. I do know the song. Nice face.
It's got a next line in there. Someone help me out. Come on. Can you put the next line in there?
If you're out there and know this song that this man is singing, help us out.
Go down on me.
That's good.
So how do I let the sun go down on me? If I'm not purposefully interacting with Him. If I turn this into a system of beliefs and a doctrine, it becomes a tradition to me. How do I keep the light on? I interact with Him. Mm-hmm. I talk to Him every day about what's going on in my life. Show me, Father. Show me, Lord God. Show me what to do next.
Hallelujah.
Show me, Lord. You've spoken these things to me. Show me what that means today. Interact with Him. Don't let the sun go down on me.
What often accompanies light? I'm just going somewhere here. Heat.
Oh, yeah. And I can feel it from these lights.
Yeah, yeah. But, you know, just walk in the light, continue in the light. Don't let the sun go down on me.
Come on, sing it. Someone give me the next line.
But, you know, what often accompanies light is heat, which keeps us flexible. You know, when something warms up, it gets malleable and flexible. Because you just said, don't turn this into doctrines and a set of beliefs that sit over here and that you know. But you know what? If you don't daily, get yourself in the presence of light, you can become stiff and inflexible.
That's for sure.
And a lot of times, if you're just gathering doctrines and gathering a set of beliefs, you can carry those and still remain stiff and inflexible.
Don't be a stiff.
Yeah.
Right?
Right.
Don't
right,
let
right.
the sun go down on me. Yeah. I think that's the next line.
Stay in the light.
Don't be a stiff.
No, just these people want to continue on from here.
Okay. All right. All right. I got this song stuck in my head.
I know
now.
You're, yeah, I know.
That's so good. He keeps us, I like it, you know. Yeah. Man, I ever get in the hot tub? What's the guy on? Oh, hot tub? Yeah. Hot tub?
Okay.
Seriously, man, it's nice. But I'll tell you what happened. It was like, I don't know, April. When did I go in the pool outside?
Yeah, April.
And I didn't know.
We're new to this climate.
Yeah.
So we're it's warm.
Yeah, it was warm outside, but I got in the pool. Ooh-wee, it was not warm in that pool. And I didn't know the pool was heated, but it was broken.
We were told that it was heated.
I didn't know. Yeah, so I got in, and that water was cold, and I was not flexible. I pretty much went,
stiff.
You know, and you got to start moving, you got to really work. But they fixed the heater, and I stepped into the pool after the water was heated,
right.
And I just...
No problem.
Walked right in, you know. I said, oh, this is nice. Yeah. And I just swam, and my muscles were loose. And the presence of God That's will right. loosen you up,
Amen.
Man.
Amen. Man. Yeah. Yeah.
And we need to be loose.
Yeah.
Flexible.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Responsive. To his leading in our
mm-hmm.
lives.
Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
This is not something that's... you know, we've been programmed, we're robots, and we just go. No, we're made in the image of God. We've got to interact. We're living beings made in his image. We've got a free will. We've got the ability to reason, to think, to choose what we believe, to choose what we're going to do. We need a fresh, hot interaction with fresh, hot Jesus.
Yeah, yeah. That's how we're changed.
Yeah.
That's how we're reformed.
Every day, guys.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Hallelujah. And there's nothing heavy about what I'm saying. I'm talking about spending time with the one who's more fun than the funnest time you've ever had. Mm-hmm. In his presence is fullness of joy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
There's no condemnation in his presence. He'll never look down on you. He'll never speak condemningly to you. Everything he will say to you will empower you, will quicken you, will strengthen you, will help you. There's no one like this, guys. There's no one like this, Jesus. Out of his mouth comes pure life.
I'm just going back. I'm just going back to Luke 4 that you were at, what we were at earlier.
Mm.
If we look at those things that he said, that Jesus said that he was called to do, it said release the captive. So I think of what you're saying, you know, to be in the light, to be submitted to the Father, to be placing yourself in the light daily. What's it going to be? I'm looking at Luke 4 again. Mm-hmm. It says he's going to release the captive. So the opposite of a captive is someone who's
free.
Sight Freedom. To the blind. So the opposite of blind is
being able to see.
Seeing. Yeah. So submitting yourself to the light makes you free.
Free.
It makes you seeing.
See.
What else do we have there? Send forth.
Delivered.
I'm kind of lost here.
Yeah.
The oppressed. Deliver those who are oppressed. The opposite of oppressed, you know, is what? Blessed, I'd say.
Blessed.
You know?
Lifted up.
Lifted
not
up.
Not pushed down.
Let's see. Downtrodden.
Tall.
I'm not.
Downtrodden.
Downtrodden.
Yeah.
What's the opposite?
Yep.
You know.
Uplifted.
Uplifted.
Yep.
Bruised.
Instead of downtrodden.
Nope. The
healed.
Opposite is mended.
Mended.
Yeah. Crushed.
Yep.
Whole.
Whole.
You know, is the opposite. Broken down. Lifted up. You know.
By
so.
Calamity.
So
yep.
What I'm saying here is Jesus already declared what he's here for.
Yep.
And to come into his light and to give ourselves into his presence daily allows us to have all the things. You know, he didn't say that he came. He said he came for the opposite of all of these things. So that's what we can expect whenever we, you know, put ourselves in his light.
Sure.
And continue in his light. Yeah.
This is the devil oppresses. and the demons that work with him oppress. Mm-hmm. And how do they do that? Well, through ideas and thoughts that are negative or that are condescending or to get you to look at the wrong things. Thank God that Jesus was with the disciples at this point in time, because that man would have been stuck. That man would have been blind the rest of his life, because they would have stood around trying to figure out why.
Who did it?
and all the time they don't have a solution anyway, even if they knew why. Right. They don't have a solution. And that's what the reasonings of man does. It just goes round and round in circles. And it can be a circle that takes 30 years, but it's a circle. Mm-hmm. And just save yourself time and believe Jesus. I've watched this, and, you know, where man goes on these journeys of research and study and self-exploration and comes back decades later where they started. Jesus won't do that to you. He will lift you up. He will bring you in to this deeper, greater, higher, wider reality, the reality of God's love for you. Why? So you won't be oppressed anymore. Oppression, depression, cousins, right? Sure. Oppression, depression, whatever label man wants to put on it, Christ, his presence will set you free from that. Okay, you go ahead and stop me if you've got
something.
This is a huge part of my calling. When we talk about his presence, sometimes we're a little limited here because we have to try and stay in these stools so we're on camera. But I want to kind of show you just, you know, we talk about prayer, but sometimes we have a religious idea of prayer. And I grew up thinking prayer was lighting candles. And then you have this necklace and you say, you know, that you recite these things over and over again.
That's good.
But that's one form of many forms of religious ideas of prayer. And I've seen all kinds. But listen, prayer is fellowship and communion with God. We think that communion is taking a little piece of bread and drinking some juice. That's not communion. Communion is interacting with God because you're one with him. So what's prayer look like? Well, it can look like all kinds of, it's different every day. But what I want to get across to you today is this, and we're going to continue in John 9, if we don't today, next week. But listen, I get it. It's not hard to get discouraged, because that's the devil's game. And we're living in an atmosphere where things don't seem to work out the way that they should. Sometimes where crazy things happen in the world around us, where we could go on all day. But the answer to every challenge is the presence of God flowing through you. So when I pray, now again, it's different. Sometimes I sing. Sometimes I'll just sing. I'm not trying to write a song. I'll just say thank you. You know, mm-hmm. And I'll just sing to him, and I'll lift my hands, and I'll just walk around the room, and I'm worshiping him. And sometimes I'll take a scripture or a portion of a scripture, and I'll just sing that and worship him with it. Mm-hmm. But when I do that, I'm not doing this to fulfill a duty or so that I'll feel more religious. I'm doing this consciously receiving from his presence. So when I set aside time with him, I keep in my mind the person and ministry of Jesus in Matthew through Acts, and I keep in mind all the promises of God that I know, because that keeps me focused. And sometimes the devil will whisper to you in prayer. Didn't he do that to Jesus?
Absolutely.
Sure, he's out in the desert about to begin his ministry, and Satan comes. Well, there are times you can pull aside to get alone with God, and there are spirits that will whisper to you. But if you'll keep your mind stayed on who Jesus is and the promises of God, you won't listen to the negative thoughts, and you'll stay focused. Sometimes I'll take a promise of God, and that will be my anchor for my time with him for however long that is.
Sure.
And sometimes I don't want to get into a religious mindset that you got to pray for a certain amount of time, or you got to pray on your knees, you got to pray standing up, you got to pray outside, you got to pray in your closet. That's all, you start getting into that, and you're already missing it. The key is that your heart is receiving from the heart of God.
that your spirit is being filled, that your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions are being filled with the presence of God. Your body is being filled with the presence of God by keeping your attention on who He is and what He's done for you. And I want to encourage you, Highway family, to really cultivate this in your daily life. Mm-hmm. And if you haven't done before, just go for it. And there are no rules to this. This is not a strict doctrinal, you got to do this, you got to do that. The only rule Jesus gave us is to believe. Just believe Him. And there are times when I'm with Him, I feel like a failure. I might feel frustrated. There might be fears like breathing down my neck, saying it's not going to happen. You're not going to make it. You're going to lose everything, whatever it is. But in the midst of all of those feelings and pressure, I begin to worship Him because I believe that He is who He says He is. And I might feel lousy for the first part of that time with Him. But I'm telling you, if you'll just keep your mind stayed on Him and praise Him through those feelings, however strong they may be, you will enter into a deeper reality will rise up inside of you. And a joy from heaven will begin to take over. I cannot begin to tell you how many times this has saved my life personally. Mm-hmm. And I do mean saved my life. And enabled me to keep breathing, keep going. Because it looked like everything around me, or a lot of things around me, were just not going the way they should go. Get in the presence of God.
Good.
He's got you. Mm-hmm. Worship Him. Stop trying to figure it out and just believe Him. Let Him show Himself to you. Let Him bring the answer into your life. Trust Him. Spend time with Him. Don't allow yourself to be afraid. Don't allow yourself to be afraid. Don't allow yourself to be anxious. Don't allow yourself to be concerned to the point where you become anxious. If anything's troubling you, give it to Him and worship Him until you've got that peace reigning inside of you. And I'm just being real with you. Sometimes that takes time. Sometimes I just got to praise Him. I got to jump up and down. I got to shout. I got to fall on my face. I got to be on my knees. I got to cry. I just got to give Him my whole self. And that takes time sometimes. There are times I experience that all throughout the day, and His presence is so, I'm so constant. There are other times I go through my day, I'm just like, am I even saved? Do I know anything about Jesus? Am I just a total idiot? You know, and that's just part of being human. That's part of the flesh and the soul needing to be reminded of the reality of what's in our spirit, who we are in Him and what He's done for us. I want to encourage you in that.
You're just really breaking it down, laying it out for us, Joseph, what it is to enter the deep.
Yeah.
Enter the high, mm-hmm. enter the broad,
yeah.
enter, as we say, total reality rather than just a partial mm-hmm. understanding.
Yeah,
you know, coming into the light,
yeah,
leaving that place of just trying to find blame and coming higher and deeper and broader. You're laying it down for us how to enter into those places.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm.
So it's time, guys. It's time to look to God. See what God can do. What can God do in your financial life? Just share with a friend how they had a 60-some thousand dollar debt paid. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Easy for God. Easy. Mm-hmm. What can God do in your financial life? Is your mortgage like a too big for God to take care of? Or do you got to figure out how to do that? Come on. What can God do if you'll give yourself to Him? Spend time with Him. Steep your life in God reality, God initiative, God provision. Mm-hmm. Soak in the reality of his provision for your life. Mm-hmm. This seems ridiculous if you don't know how good he is. It might seem irresponsible to just set aside time every day to just soak in God. I want to encourage you to do it. If there's any offense, if there's any challenges you're facing, take it to God and soak in him until his love is reigning in you. Oh, hallelujah. We're beyond our time here.
Linda gave us the next line.
Thank you, Linda. Let's go.
I don't know if it means anything.
Probably not, but let's go.
Oh, Carol, too. Thank you, ladies. I'm curious if they had to look it up or did they just know it?
Did you just sing it right out?
I'm impressed.
Well, give it to me. Come on.
Although I search myself, it's always someone else I see.
All right, so we got, don't let your sun go down on me. I don't know the rest of it.
I don't
Although
either.
I search myself.
It's always someone else I see.
Oh, well, yeah, you're looking in the wrong place, right? Yeah, so there you go. Thank you.
What's it say? That's what Jesus said.
Yeah,
look instead for what God can do.
Yeah, stop searching yourself and search him, right? Amen. Thank you.
I love
Thanks
that.
For that.
That's good.
All right. Listen, God's so good.
Yes,
we love you.
Is.
And we're trying to keep this thing within an hour. And we're a little over today, but we
love you.
We love you.
We love
and we're
you
just,
all
we're,
so, so
we're
much.
Flowing. And we want to bless you in Jesus' name.
Yes.
We invite you to partner with us in what God's called us to do. And that's just to bring people into this deeper place, into this relationship with him.
Yes.
Realize how good he is and to see what God can do in your life. Mm-mm. See what God can do. That's what Highway Church is all about. And if you're new to this ministry, we invite you to plug in, worship with us on Sundays. We got a Bible study Wednesdays, live Bible study coming up this Wednesday. It's called Your Big Mouth. Check it out if you haven't already. We're learning about how powerful our words are. And we invite you to worship with us and to partner with us financially. We believe God's called us to do things that we haven't even gotten to yet. That require a lot financially, and he will provide that. By partnering with us financially, you connect and you act on your faith, and it's a love faith thing. Mm-hmm. And we invite you to do that, and you can do that through our website, highwaychurch.us. Mm-hmm. Click on the give. Mm-hmm. You can text 508-502-7733. You can send a check in the mail to Highway Church to our mailing address. It's all on our give page. It's on the screen there. But this is a love thing. This is a faith thing. This is a love, truth, and grace thing. And we're walking with him. We invite you to walk with us and believe with us, partner with us
with your
faith, mm-hmm. with your love, with your joy, with your finances. And let's see what God can do.
Hallelujah.
Let's see what God can
Hallelujah.
Do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I want to pray. Mm-hmm. And don't turn the music up too loud yet. I'm going to pray first. Father, we love you so much. And we thank you. Lord, I thank you for this Highway family. Father, I thank you for partners in the work that you've called us to do. For people who are ready to see what God can do. People who are ready to sow their faith, their love, their finances into this thing you've called us to. To take this message of see what God can do all throughout the nation and around the world. To help people get on the highway and experience God's powerful love and joy and strength. Lord, I bless every member of this Highway family. And Lord, I thank you for every financial seed that is sown into this ministry. I thank you for multiplying it by your Spirit and your grace exponentially. That every single need of every partner, every person who sows is met abundantly. I thank you for mortgages paid in full. I thank you for automobiles paid in full. I thank you, Lord, in the midst of whatever's happening with the inflation of our economy, for your rich provision abounding in our lives.
Thank you, Lord.
That we will prosper more than ever during this time because you are our provider. And I thank you for meeting every need in each member's life and in the ministry's life. And we give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Mm-hmm. Amen. We love you, Highway family. This was good. This was fun. We're going to see you Wednesday night. We love you. See you soon.
God is so good. We want to invite you to continue to grow in the knowledge of His goodness, who He is, what He's done for you, and who you are in Him. Check out our websites at highwaychurch.us and josephbosco.us and begin living the abundant life He came to give you.